Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. On Sunday evenings, I know we've had some preachers in, but on Sunday evenings when I've been preaching, we've been looking at the life of King Solomon. I've done the life of David. We spent 66 messages in David's life. And here we're at the beginning of King Solomon's reign. So when you find 1 Kings chapter 2, if you'd stand with me, let's read responsively. Beginning in verse 36, I'll do a little bit of review to remind us all where we are in the story and make an application of this story about this particular man. I was telling my wife as we were driving in, I said, you know, tonight's message really dovetails with this morning's message. And so they will go together in some way. And so I trust that you'll see the connection here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 2, I'll read verse 36, together 37, and then I'll read 38 all the way down to verse 46. And the king sent and called for Shimei. And said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out, and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose. And saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. The king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain, on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? Amen. And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord, and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established with the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out, and fell upon him that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. We'll stop there and let's pray. Now, Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to come together tonight.
Yes, thank you,
Lord. Well, it's been a joy to be here already. The singing's been wonderful. Taking a moment and observing the Lord's Supper.
Yes, thank you.
Fellowshipping with one another. But Lord, we've come to the place where the preaching of thy word takes place. And so, Lord, I pray that all of us would give attention to your word.
Yes, we pray, Lord.
Lord, please help me tonight. I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. I cannot depend on any past blessings for the present blessings, so I ask you for them. May your word have free course this evening. Speak to our hearts. May we be attentive to thy word this evening. Again, I pray if someone's here tonight that is not saved, that they trust Christ tonight as their Savior. And for the child of God, Lord, that we would look at Shimei and in many ways see ourselves.
Amen.
So please help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing and reading this evening. I appreciate that. It's in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12. If you'll just perhaps in my Bible, it's on the same page, the first verse on the left side, that Solomon, David's 10th son, second by Bathsheba, officially became Israel's third king. Saul, we know, was Israel's first king. He reigned for 40 years. He was a man's choice, if you will. He reigned from 1095 B.C. to 1055 B.C. David was God's choice,
Amen.
Israel's second king, a man after God's own heart, who would reign for 40 years as well. 7.5 years in Hebron, he would reign over the tribe of Judah alone. And then 33 years in Jerusalem over the entire nation. His reign would be from 1055 B.C. to 1015 B.C. And now Solomon has officially become Israel's third king. He'll also reign for 40 years. He'll reign from 1015 B.C. to 975 B.C. But notice in 1 Kings chapter 2, the verse I just mentioned a moment ago in verse 12, "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly."
Amen.
Now, note that word, "then." That's a significant word. Because Solomon's coronation was not without incident. As David was dying, we know there was a great power struggle for the throne.
Right.
By the way, that's not an unusual thing. Whenever there's a change of power, whenever there's a change in leadership or regime, whether it be in government or even in a church, or there be an election, there's almost always people who try to fill that void with themselves.
Right.
I want to be king. By the way, sometimes it works, Biden, and sometimes it doesn't. Listen to that later and you'll maybe catch it. But that's what Adonijah did. David's fourth son. He saw this void, he saw this opportunity. So what did he do? He wanted to steal the throne. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 5. We see that Adonijah, we read chapter 1 and verse 5, that he exalted himself. He publicly declared, "I will be king."
Right.
And he tried to solicit support for his coup from anybody that would follow him.
Right.
Notice verses 7 and 8. He gets Joab, David's captain, on his side. He gets Abiathar, David's priest, on his side. He even held a feast and called all the king's sons to celebrate his new self-appointed position. And his plan seemed to be working. Until, just before his death, David would put the matter to rest. Oh, I won't go through the whole story. But David declared his son Solomon to be his successor, placed him on the king's donkey, and had him publicly recognized as Israel's next king, and all Israel agreed. Praise Lord for unity. Amen. And so David in chapter 2 and verse 10 dies and Solomon becomes king. Now when Solomon became king, there was some unfinished business from David's reign that he had to deal with. People matters. People problems. Things that David really never did take care of. And as David was on his deathbed, he told Solomon, "Listen, after I die, you need to take care of some things."
Amen.
The very first person that in chapter 2, after David dies in verse 10 and verse 12, Solomon is established as the king. The very first person that Solomon deals with is Adonijah. Adonijah was Solomon's half-brother who pursued the throne, the one I just spoke about. And his dealings with him is recorded for us in verses 13 of chapter 2 down to verse 25. He deals with Adonijah. And then he moves on to Abiathar, the second person. This second person, Abiathar, was David's priest who joined Adonijah. Solomon's dealings with him is recorded for us in just two verses of chapter 2, verse 26 and verse 27. He deals with him. Then, Joab. The third person. Joab was David's captain who murdered Abner and Amasa in cold blood. And so Solomon has to deal with this third person. He deals with Adonijah, he deals with Abiathar, and now he deals with Joab. That's recorded for us in verses 28 down to verse 35. Who's up next? Shimei. Tonight, Solomon, as we're looking at tonight, Solomon is dealing with this fourth and final person from the previous regime. And again, his name is Shimei. Now, here in our text, Shimei is told by Solomon to build a house in Jerusalem, to stay there, and not to leave. And if he did, he's going to die. And for the first 3 years, Shimei did that. He stayed there. He did not leave Jerusalem. I'll get more into the details here in a moment. But after 3 years, certain circumstances occurred where Shimei felt like he just had to go against Solomon's instructions. And Shimei does what he should not have done.
Amen.
He left his house. He crossed the brook Kidron and left Jerusalem. Shimei does what he shouldn't have done. Then Solomon does what he said he would do.
Amen.
He executes Shimei. You know, Shimei had his chance,
right. But
he blew it. And I think what a disappointment Shimei must have been to Solomon. I mean, everything would have been fine. Everything would have been great if Shimei would have simply did what he was told to do.
Amen.
But he didn't. And he paid for it. You know, as I alluded to earlier, actually stated earlier, I think the story of Shimei, as I look at it, I see something. I see a picture of what happens in the life of many believers. Shimei would be a picture of the believer. Somebody who's saved. Somebody who knows the Lord. Somebody who has Jesus as their king. Amen. Are you saved here tonight? Raise your hand and smile. Amen. Without your mask, I can see teeth. Praise the Lord. Maybe praise the Lord. Shimei, a picture of the believer. Solomon, a picture of the Lord. And we see something that I don't like to admit to. How many times we as believers start out being obedient to the Lord, but as time goes on, we find reasons to justify why we don't obey Him. And we disappoint our King. Tonight I want to preach on this subject, the disappointing of a king. You know, the very last thing I want to do, the very last thing I believe all of you want to do, is to disappoint our King.
Amen.
But so often we do.
Remember.
And tonight I'd like for us to see how Solomon's dealings with Shimei is this picture of the Lord's dealings with us, and how we often take the same route that Shimei did and disappoint our Lord. Oh, it's a simple message tonight. They're all simple, I know.
Amen.
Let's consider, first of all, number one, the compassion of Solomon. Notice, here he comes, after dealing with Adonijah and Abiathar and Joab, Solomon now comes to Shimei. And we read in verse 36, "And the king sent and called for Shimei, and said unto him, Build thee an house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. Again, he tells the Shimei to build a house in Jerusalem. By the way, he has servants there in that house. His servants ran away. Must not be that bad of a thing. To dwell in Jerusalem and not leave the city. Now understand something when you look at this. What Solomon is telling Shimei to do here was not something unkind. It was not an act of judgment. It was not an act of cruelty. As a matter of fact, what Solomon was doing here, how he was treating Shimei, was an act of grace.
Amen.
It was an act of mercy. Amen. It was an act of compassion towards this man. How so? How so? Well, consider two things about what Solomon is doing here with his compassion. Number one is Shimei's condition. Who is this Shimei? Well, you know who he is. Shimei is introduced to us back in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Would you turn there, please? 2 Samuel chapter 16. I think you remember this man.
Amen.
His name first appears here in this chapter in verse 5. Now, I think you know the story. David was a king, and Absalom, David's son, was attempting to steal the kingdom from his father David. And this conspiracy against David got so strong, Absalom got such a following, that David and his servants, they thought the best thing to do was get out of here. The best thing we should do is flee. And that's what he did. David gathered his servants and David fled from the palace. And as David and his men are leaving the city, Shimei appears. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, there thence came out, verse 5, a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. As David is leaving the city with his servants, this man, Shimei, is cursing him. He's throwing stones at David and his men. He is publicly berating the king. Shimei hated David, the king. He was an enemy. And his actions here were absolutely worthy of death.
Amen.
You know, that story there, that description, kind of reminds me of me.
Amen.
Of me.
Amen.
And you.
Amen.
Before we were saved.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He always was. He always is. And he always will be. He is the King. And there was a time in every one of our lives when we wanted nothing to do with the King. We would even at times curse the King. We were enemies of the King.
Lord have mercy. Amen.
You see, all of us before we were saved were Shimei's.
Amen.
In case you don't think that was you, let me remind you of what the Bible says about our condition. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you.
Amen.
you remember what you were like before you were saved?
Praise the Lord.
Remember how you talked? Remember how you thought? You say, well, I got saved early, so I don't really have that much of a bad past. Oh, yes, you were filled with self-righteousness and pride.
Amen.
All of us were.
Amen.
Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. We wanted nothing to do with the King.
Right. Amen.
Nothing. Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Amen.
Wow, who's that talking about? You.
Amen.
And me before Christ. Listen to this, Romans 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We not only did all those things, or at least some of them,
Amen.
All of them at least in our minds, we had pleasure in doing them.
Right.
That's a description of us. Before salvation. You see, our actions proved, our hearts proved, that we, like Shimei, hated the King. We, like Shimei, wanted nothing to do with the King. And we were all of us, every one of us, worthy of death.
Amen.
Again, we were Shimei.
Amen.
That was our condition. But then I also noticed Solomon's decision. Go back to 2 Kings 1 again. And Solomon decides to do something. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 2. He decides, notice he says again, build thee an house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. You see, while Solomon, he had every right to put Shimei to death.
Right.
He threatened the king. And he was doing wrong. He had every right to exercise judgment upon Shimei, but instead, Solomon chose to do something different. He chose to show mercy upon Shimei.
Right.
He chose to show compassion upon Shimei. He chose to shed his grace, if you will, upon Shimei. And understand, it is the same with me and you that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because of our condition, because of our actions, because of our sin, you and I deserve hell. We deserve death. We deserve the judgment of God. We deserve the lake of fire for all eternity. But instead, our King has shown us grace. Our King has shown us forgiveness. And He's given us a home in heaven.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, not because we deserve it.
Amen.
Because none of us do.
Right.
Because of His mercy.
Titus
3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn over to, hold your hand here, turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. It's a good reminder for all of us tonight.
Amen.
Maybe not for you, it's a good one for me.
Praise the Lord.
Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God... Verse 1, it talks about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's given us a home in heaven. You see, instead of executing Shimei, which he should have and could have done, Solomon said to him, hey, build a house in Jerusalem.
Amen.
The city of the King.
Praise the Lord.
That's where kings dwell.
Right.
Hey, you build a house here. You come to the place where I am. Here, here's even some servants that you can have and dwell there. What an act of compassion Solomon did. So I wonder tonight, do you realize what the Lord has done for you?
Praise Jesus.
Are you saved tonight?
Hallelujah.
You appreciate what He's done?
Amen.
You look back at your... Sometimes, you know, we're saved for a while and we forget what we were like.
Right. Amen.
Forget what we were.
Amen.
To be honest, I want to forget what I was. But sometimes it's good to remember what He saved me from.
Amen.
The compassion of Solomon.
Amen.
But then I noticed number two, the instruction of Solomon. So after Solomon shows Shimei compassion, he then begins to give him instructions. He tells him what he wants him to do. Look at verse 37. He said, and verse 38, "For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. And Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days." Solomon is very specific as to what he wants Shimei to do.
Amen.
He says, stay in Jerusalem, do not leave, do not go out of the city limits, do not pass over the brook Kidron, because if you do, you will surely die. And you know what's interesting about it? Shimei had no problem with that.
Right.
Why would he?
Amen.
He should have been executed. He should have been dead.
Amen.
So yeah, he says again in verse 38, the saying is good. As my lord the king has said, so will thy servant do.
Amen.
I mean, he was in debt. He understood it. He was indebted to Solomon for his own life. He must have been happy to simply be alive.
Amen.
And so he gladly complies. You know, when our forgiveness is fresh in our minds and in our hearts, we have no problem obeying God. Because we realize what we came from.
Amen.
Wasn't it like that with Israel and Mount Sinai? Do you remember that? Do you remember after being redeemed from Egyptian bondage, after the plagues and all of that, when they were under the harsh hand of the Egyptian taskmasters, they were living a life of hardship, bondage and misery, and after they were redeemed and brought through the Red Sea and down to Mount Sinai, God began to instruct them on what He wanted them to do.
Amen.
And they didn't say, I won't do that. They said, well, yeah, we'll do whatever you say. You redeemed us. You took us from that place that was terrible. Exodus 19:8, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. After all, He saved us. He redeemed us. He rescued us. Isn't that the way we all start out? I mean, after a person gets saved, I've heard it many times. You lead someone to the Lord, they start coming to church. And I hear them say things like this. I just want to live for God. I just want to know what He wants me to do. Because whatever, and as the words leave their mouth, I think of what I know from the principle I'm preaching on tonight. They say, whatever He tells me to do, I'm going to do. I want to say, you have no idea. Because there's a lot that He's going to ask you to change. Because He wants to work in your life to be like Christ. But isn't it interesting as after a person gets saved, they immediately say, whatever you tell me, Lord, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I mean, I'm in. I'm all in. After all, Lord, you redeemed me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we feel like I'll do anything for Him. Anything. By the way, that's the way it's always supposed to be.
Amen.
Not just at the beginning.
Amen.
Always. You see, God saved us. Why? So that we might obey Him.
Amen.
He saved us so that we might submit to Him. He saved us so that we might become true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, He is our King.
Praise the Lord.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. We weren't saved to sit. We were saved to serve. We were saved to obey Him. Not to like going down the buffet line and picking and choosing the things we like about his what he says in his word. Well, I'll do that. I like that. Well, no, I don't like that. All of it.
Amen.
We're supposed to obey every bit of it.
Right.
Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Romans 8:3-4, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
He saved us so that we would live righteously. You see, we should be willing to do whatever our Lord tells us to do.
Amen.
That's why he saved us. And just like Shimei, most of us start that way. But the story continues. So we see the compassion of Solomon. We see the instruction of Solomon. Then thirdly, I want you to notice the decision of Shimei. So he's doing pretty good. For a little bit. Matter of fact, Shimei does extremely well. For the first 3 years. Look what we see in verse 39. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish the son of Maacah, king of Gath, and they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. So here he is for 3 years sitting in his home and doing, walking around Jerusalem, living in the city. By the way, there's enough to do there. It's a great place. Then all of a sudden, two of his servants leave. They run away. I don't know exactly what happened. And Shimei, this event happens, and Shimei makes the worst decision of his entire life.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's a decision that's going to cost him his life. Notice, first of all, his situation. So, imagine him sitting there in Jerusalem. 3 years have gone by. His servants ran away. They ran to the Philistines, that is, to the southwest of Jerusalem, the area of Gath. And he's sitting there, and he finds himself in a predicament. He has to choose. What do I do? Supposed to stay here, but my servants are gone. Solomon said some things. If I leave, I'm done.
Right.
So can you let's pause it for a moment there and place ourselves in his shoes. Where there's some situation that comes up in your life that you think, well, I really need to do this, but it's something you're not supposed to do.
Amen.
He had to choose, do I go after them and bring them back, or do I not? Do I obey the king's orders, or do I stay here? Do I go after them? What do I do? You know what that's called? A trial. Do you remember Abraham and Sarah? You know, over and over in God's Word, He brings situations into our lives.
Amen.
To test us to see if we're going to obey Him or not.
Good.
He does. Matter of fact, He said in the book of Joshua and his Judges that He was going to leave those Canaanites in the land. He said to prove Israel whether they will obey My Word or not. He does the same with us. He did it with Abraham and Sarah, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10. They faced a similar situation, a similar dilemma. Here God told them to go to the land and to be there, and they were there. Then suddenly a famine came to the land. No food. They had to figure out what to do. They had to decide, do I leave where God wants me to be? Or do I go find food for my family? Do I stay and wait on God and trust God? Or do I do what I think is right? We know what they did. They left. By the way, in Egypt, he picked up a Hagar. That's why we have what we have today with the Israel and Arams, the dilemma there. Elimelech and Naomi in the book of Ruth, same thing, right? Same idea. There they were in the land, and they were faced with a situation, a dilemma, something where their circumstances seemed like, well, I have to do something. I can't just sit here and then wait on God. Do we stay in Bethlehem, Judah, or do we go and find food? There's a famine, and we have no food. So, hey, I got an idea. Let's go down to Moab. That was disastrous as well.
Right.
Shimei faces the same dilemma. What do I do? I thought, we'll send somebody else to go get him.
Amen.
But he chose to go. You know, there's many times that you and I are going to be faced with a situation where we have to choose. Do I trust God and obey Him, or do I not? Do I do what the Bible says, or do I do what I think my circumstances dictate? What do I do? Okay, I'll give you some examples since you're wondering about them. Do I go to my son's basketball game on Wednesday night, or do I go to church?
Amen.
Well, you know, like I said this morning, he's my family. And like, well, you don't have to with the teammates. You know, you don't let the teammate down. He's a star player after all. A situation. Do I go to the family picnic on Sunday afternoon, or do I go to church on Sunday night?
Amen.
Those things come up, don't they? Do I work overtime to try to make extra money on Wednesday and miss church? You know, pick up some extra cash. Or do I go to church?
Amen.
Do I take that job that causes me to miss church, or do I not take that job?
Good.
Do I tithe when the money's tight?
Amen.
Or do I not? Hey, you know, money's tight. A little car incident, you know, so I got to pay that. And so how much? We have to choose, don't we? Those situations come up all the time. They arrive, and they're going to challenge your faith and challenge my faith to see if what we say we believe, we really do believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
God will take care of you through every day. Do we really believe that? We sing it. We smile when we think, oh, He'll take care. Then when the rubber meets the road and we get a situation, all of a sudden we throw all that stuff out the window.
Right.
You see, we have to choose between following God's word, the King, let's apply it here, following the King's word,
amen,
or my own human reasoning.
Right.
Faith, life, or sight, life.
Right.
By the way, God will never put you in or me in a circumstance where it's impossible to obey His word. He'll always give us a way of escape that's right and biblical.
Right.
You say, how do you know that? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it.
Right.
What you're gonna, He's gonna allow in your life, He's gonna give you a way out. It's not any different than anybody else. He's not gonna tempt you above ye are able. This was His, Shimei's situation. I have to make a decision. And he chose to disobey the king. His situation. Then I think of also his justification. This is all under the decision of Shimei. He had a situation. And then I wonder what he was thinking as he... Again, this isn't about... This is speculation. So, you know, you can take your nap if you want to for the next 2 minutes. Or you can wake up from your nap because you've been sleeping the rest of the sermon anyway. But anyway. I wonder what he was thinking. They're gone. He hears it. They're gone. Well, I got to get them. And I'm going to go get him. And then he came back. What am I going to tell the king?
Right.
What's going to happen? Well, you know, I think Shimei did what we all do. He tried to justify his disobedience.
Right.
Like this. Well, the king will understand. He'll understand. I know what he said, but you know, look at the circumstance. What else am I supposed to do? Stay here? My servants are gone. They went to Gath. They could die there. Somebody's got to go. I think the king might think it's a noble thing that I went myself. He's trying to reason in his mind about what he did wrong. Hey, after all, my household's important. You know, here I am. And what does he expect me to do? Just sit here? Certainly the king would not want me to neglect my servants. After all, they might be in danger. They might need my help. And if I don't go now, I may never get them back. That's what I'll tell him. Yeah, and he'll let me stay. No. But we do the same thing.
Right.
We say things like this. Well, the Lord knows I need money. He knows I'm behind on some bills. And hey, you know, this job came up Sunday night. He just said, hey, oh, there's overtime Sunday night. And so come on in. And that was a blessing of the Lord. It's amazing how we throw God into that kind of stuff.
Right.
Was it? I think we might as well call it what it is, a temptation of the devil.
Amen.
How about this? Well, the Lord knows my heart. It's funny, there's been people that miss church, a lot of church since COVID. And I understand, I'm not going to get into all that. But I've heard a few people say this, and I don't know what to say to this, but they say this. Well, my heart was there. My heart was there. Your heart was there. I didn't see it. Not forsake the assembly of your heart. Your heart was. What does that mean? That's just a lame excuse.
Amen.
It's a lame excuse.
Amen.
Well, the Lord knows I'm trying my best. I'm trying. Well, we're all victims, aren't we?
Right.
Besides, we're not under the law, preacher. We're under grace. All right, you want to go that route, huh? He saved us. To obey.
Praise the Lord.
We love Him. We obey. I want you to listen to this statement. There's never a situation in life that warrants, justifies disobedience to God's word. Never.
Right. Amen.
Never is.
Praise
for you or for me. I'm preaching myself now. I'm not perfect. I'm not. Amen. There is never a situation. That's the first time you amen in a while when I said I wasn't perfect. That was the biggest one you got. Never a situation or a circumstance in life that warrants disobedience to God.
Amen.
None. Zero. Never.
Right.
So, I ask you, are you a Shimei?
Good.
You got all the excuses? Well, I don't witness because...
Because what?
Well, I'm busy Wednesdays and Saturdays. Okay. Why don't you hand out a tract when you go to the doctor's or to the nursing home or to the whatever, doctor's appointment. Why don't you do it then? Well, it's not my birthday. You're Shimei.
Right.
Hey, you didn't start off that way.
Amen.
When you started off, you were witnessing to everybody.
Right.
Witnessed more people you ever did in your entire life. The first 3 years you were saved. That's the way it is for most Christians.
Amen.
What happens?
Right.
We become Shimeis. Well, you know, that's for those new believers that are on fire for God. Oh, really? Okay. That's just a pathetic way of making an excuse for disobedience. He made a decision that was wrong, and I would think he tried to justify. Let's not do that.
Amen.
I'll show you why, because number four, we're done here. And that is not only the compassion of Solomon, the instruction of Solomon, the decision of Shimei, and then lastly, the conclusion of Shimei. Well, guess what? Solomon found out. What did he do? Oh, Shimei, thank you. Thank you for doing that. That was so thoughtful of you. To put your servants above my command. That was wonderful. No, he didn't do that. By the way, God's not going to do that either.
Amen.
Oh, you did this instead of obeying me. Oh, well, I get it. I understand. No. Doesn't work that way.
Amen.
We're going to be judged by His Word.
Amen.
in that day. We're going to stand in the judgment seat of Christ, and we're not going to give excuses. We're going to be judged according to His Word.
Amen.
I mean, look at verse 41. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath, and he was coming in. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, "Did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain on that day, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die, and thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good." Jesus is going to say, "Didn't I say in my word what I wanted you to do?"
Amen.
Then Solomon asks a piercing question. When I was studying for this message, I like to write in my Bible, I just do. I circle this verse. "Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with?" Hoo-wee.
Amen.
I wonder how many things in my life I'm going to hear that about at the judgment seat of Christ. Why haven't you kept my word and my commandment that I told you? Why?
Amen.
Guess what? In that day, there's not going to be any excuses. So what happened? Shimei paid the price.
Amen.
I believe that Solomon had a heart, and I believe he did.
Amen.
I believe he was greatly disappointed. I do. I think he probably thought, you blew it.
Right.
You had a good thing.
Amen.
I had you in the king's city. I had you in a house. You had servants. You had everything you needed. I told you what to do. And you blew it. He gets executed. There's a price to pay when we disobey.
Amen.
There is. And you know, the hardest thing about disobedience is that it doesn't, the price we pay doesn't always happen the next day. Sometimes it happens way down the road.
Right.
Sometimes it comes to fruition in our children or in something in our lives. Because at first we think, oh, wow, look at that. I think Shimei, when he got back to that house, he probably thought, well, look, everything's fine. Then Solomon shows up. He kind of went, oops. Folks, there's no reason, there's no excuse in the world for us to not do what the Lord says. No matter how hard we try to justify our actions, give excuses for what we've done, eventually the consequences of our decisions will come to fruition. And worst of all, we're going to disappoint our king.
Amen.
What a great picture Shimei is of the believer.
Amen.
Man receives mercy and compassion and says, "I'll do whatever you say." Then the circumstance comes.
Right.
It's, well, he does wrong. Lord, help us all.
Amen.
To strive to live a life of obedience and away with the excuses.
Amen.
Let's pray.